little bit of ground rules we need to go over. And this was developed by the RICO Women's Club. And again, I would like to thank the radio station KSJD for broadcasting and recording this event. So my job as the moderator is to ensure fairness for everyone, help lead an unbiased discussion forum, keep the discussion from becoming disorderly. The candidates, we have a maximum one-page statement, which we just talked about, and they're available and will be posted on Facebook. Please answer the questions that we ask as best as you can. Speak into the microphone for recording purposes. The RICO Women's Club, who are volunteers, arranged for the room, set it up. They're providing the snacks. They are screening any kind of written questions and providing the name tags. The audience, we're asking you to be civil and courteous. No personal attacks. If you have questions, provide them in writing and we'll get them read. We expect no pro or con materials to be displayed in the room. And we'll have direct questions at the end if we have time from the audience. Otherwise, we have a set of questions that the Women's Club have developed, and we'll be asking those. Any questions on the ground rules? So I want to introduce the candidates, and you can speak for up to 2 minutes as sort of your introductory statement. Okay. Brandy, would you go first?
Sure. Try to make it quick. I grew up in New Mexico. Hi, everyone. I'm Brandy. I went to Fort Lewis College in Durango, and then I did a quick 5-year ski bum life in Tahoe, and then moved to Panama, where I lived for 7 years as a beach bum before landing in RICO. I'll be turning 38 by the end of the month, so I see myself here for a very long time. A little more backstory, I grew up about 2 hours from here, and all my best childhood memories are from hunting and fishing here with my dad in these very mountains. My grandmother, who lives in Dolores, went to school here as a child, and moving to RICO was like moving back home for me. I've been ready to get back to my roots for quite some time now. Justin was working abroad while I was here looking for jobs and a place, and then he sent me a Craigslist ad saying the Enterprise was for sale. I came up here, it was Noel night, I was checking out the scene, it was at the mineshaft and the Enterprise, and everybody was really cool, so I made the spontaneous decision, knowing nothing about running a business, or especially running a business in a town like RICO, and closed on the business deal in just a few short weeks. So now we're here, we took over the Enterprise January 1st of 2017, and then I'll give a little bit more background and make my closing statement. My education is in environmental policy, and in all my travels, my passion for learning local policies and actively protecting pristine places has never died. In every place that I've ever lived, I've volunteered hundreds of hours to local events, donated hundreds of dollars to environmental conservation, and actively participated in things that I felt would benefit the local community. I've always wanted to run my own business, and I'm very proud to have bought into a place that has 127 years of history and is quite possibly RICO's longest-running establishment. Regardless of being voted onto the town board, I'm 100% committed to RICO and its residents and its future. I want to serve on town board not only to be a voice for the few business owners who are here today, but also to ensure that as RICO grows, it grows slow and it grows smart. Thank you all for being here, and I look forward to serving you on the Board of Trustees.
Thank you very much. Ellen. Svoboda.
Thank you.
Would you go next?
Yes. Most of my 2 minutes is already on the page, the one sheet page. I moved to Colorado in 1980 to work as an electric utility field engineer. That was in northwest Colorado at Meeker. Then from there I went to the Pueblo area outside of Pueblo and same similar kind of work for 17 years. Retired early in 60 years old, in 2014, and 2 years later, I had already purchased a house here, And 2 years later, which is 3 years ago approximately, I moved here, and this is my home now. I have one child, a daughter, and she lives at Norwood and works at various ways of earning a living in the Telluride and Norwood area. Thank you. Glad to have you all here. I'm so happy to, that we've been able to put this event together, thanks to the Women's Club. And as Neil Armstrong famously said from the surface of the moon 50 years ago, isn't this something?
Thank you, Alan. Okay, Joe Dilsworth, please.
Thanks, Ken. My name's Joe Dilsworth, for those of you who don't know me. I first moved to Telluride in 2006 as a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed 22-year-old with ambitions to be a seasonal worker, ski bum, for a season or two. 13 years later, here I am. I recently received full-time year-round employment with the town of Telluride. I work as the operations supervisor for the transit system with transit coming to RICO. We'll talk about that later, I think, but regardless of whether that passes or not, I mean, the shuttle's here, and I think that's going to stick around, and I think it's important to have someone on the board with knowledge of transit systems and public transit. I grew up in a small town. I grew up in rural New York. I think cornfields and cows. So, like, small towns are my roots. You know, I lived in New York City for 10 months, and that didn't work out for me. That's when I moved to Colorado, came straight to Telluride. But basically, when I first decided to move to RICO, I looked at the master plan, and man, it really spoke to me. There's quotes in it in my thing that you can read. But basically, I want to see RICO maintain its small-town character. But I think it's also important to see RICO create a identity for itself outside of being just a bedroom commute to Telluride. I mean, like I said, I commute to Telluride for work. I would love to work in RICO, and not have to drive over the pass, 4 or 5 days a week. But I, if you guys like what you hear tonight, I would be honored to serve as a representative of this town. And thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, all three. We have two state ballot questions that you will have a chance to vote on by November 5th, and I want to go over those briefly and ask, you guys have had time to look at those and ask your opinions on if you support or not the ballot questions, why, anything else you want to say about the ballot questions. So the first one, has to do with retaining state government revenue. This is a question that makes its way to the ballot every couple of years. The state is attempting to ask the voters to keep all the money it collects from existing sources beginning in 2019 and 20 state budget year. Okay, so right as it is now, funds that exceed this limit, which is a Tabor limit, are refunded back to the voters. If you're paying taxes in Colorado, you can sometimes, and it's very small, but that's what they have to do right now. So the second part of that referendum, it requires that all the money the state government keeps, if it passes, over the existing revenue limit, must be spent for public schools, higher education, transportation projects, rather than be refunded to the voters. If you vote yes on this, it means that you approve changing the state law that allows the state to keep the funds. No means the status quo, basically. So Joe, why don't you go first this time and tell us what you think of Amendment CC.
Sure, thanks. I support this. I've supported it in the past. And like you said, it's gotten voted down, but I mean, I think any money for transportation, education is a good thing. It's a complex issue, and it has a lot to do with Tabor. and the Gallagher Amendment, and I've tried for a long time to understand Tabor, but I just can't really seem to wrap my head around it. No matter the sources I read, there's no layman's language out there that seems that they, you know, can explain it to me. But you know, the opposition, it seems like, is trying to present this as a new tax, but I mean, my understanding of it is that it's tax money already collected that's you know, specifically going to be earmarked for transportation and education, and I mean, especially education. You know, that's, I mean, that's our future. That's important. So yeah, for those reasons, I support CC.
Okay, thank you. Alan, would you like to comment?
Yes, and we all understand, of course, that the town of RICO has no jurisdiction over this sort of thing. These are our responses. I don't believe really pertain to anything that will affect government operations, but it's good to discuss this. So I'm glad the question is here. Now, first thing about my knowledge of this is what I've read here. I do not have television service, and I don't want television service, so I've not seen any of the Denver commercials, if they're already running for and against. So I am not biased by political money at this time. The phrase here, the sentence that caught my attention here is as possible impact to local governments such as the town of RICO is currently a portion of this money is refunded through property tax benefits that local governments provide. Well, if that money is retained by the state, then that statement is no longer true. It says currently a portion of this money, the refund money. So I'm concerned that if this passes, the state is able to retain all of the money for itself instead of giving back or giving some of it through property tax benefits that local governments provide. So that's my understanding of the possible impact. I don't have any other knowledge, but that's what it says. So we have to think critically about if it passes, there might be a little less money available to give back to local governments because the state now keeps it.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Brandon, would you like to comment?
Sure. I honestly don't know a whole lot about the initiative, but I do agree with Ellen to a certain extent. When you're dealing with that amount of money, I don't trust the government to allocate that in the proper ways. I do believe there's other systems in place to get the money to provide for the schools and the roads and the things that the state needs to improve. I personally would rather see that money go back to the taxpayers and the state not be in charge of keeping all that money, just in fear that it wouldn't be properly allocated. Like Ellen said, we don't know how much of it they would keep and spend.
Okay. Anything else on this that you might want to mention? Okay. The second question that will be on your ballot, what you receive from the county, has to do with legalization and taxation of sports betting to fund water projects and other obligations. So it will authorize the legalization and regulation of sports betting. It would authorize a state tax on casinos and net sports betting proceeds, and it would use these betting taxes and fees to create a dedicated source of funding for water projects and water-related obligations, and pay for the regulation of sports betting, a hold harmless fund, in gambling addiction services. So if you vote yes on Proposition DD, means sports betting will be legal and taxed in the state. So Alan, would you care to comment on this?
Yes, thank you. The first irony I see in this is on page one. In your blue book on this topic, Part of the funds will be used to pay for regulation of sports betting. Regulation, okay, we need to create another bureaucracy in state government to regulate sports betting. And gambling addiction services. Well, why promote betting if you're going to cause social issues? I don't agree. I don't think we should be promoting any kind of legalized gambling beyond what's already in existence. And on the water, the funding of water projects, conservation, and so forth. I don't understand government's concept of taxing one part of the economy or recreation to fund another. Water and gambling, sports, they're totally separate. If they want to tax something to generate revenue for water improvements and conservation in this water plan they talk about, why don't we tax water consumption? A percent or two on everyone's municipal water bill, or a little bit of a levy on all of the ranchers' irrigation rights, acre feet. Or you have a private well, you're out in the country. Just a little fee to annually on your well permit. I mean, let's keep water taxes and water development programs and conservation programs in the same basket instead of separating them. There's no continuity there. It doesn't make sense. I disagree with taxing one kind of operation to fund something else.
Okay, thank you. Joe, you have a comment?
Alan brought up some really good points there that I hadn't really thought of. I don't really have a strong opinion either way. I mean, personally, I don't gamble. I support other people's right to do so. In today's day and age, with internet, if people want to gamble, they're going to gamble. And I think more than anything, this is just the state of Colorado seeing that they're missing out on tax revenue, and that's a poor argument for it. So my inclination, on the ballot would be to vote against it. Just like I said, I don't really have a strong opinion either way. And Alan did bring up some good points. He might just convince me.
Okay. Finished?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Brandon?
I don't really have a strong opinion either way either. I do know gambling is a huge industry. There might be a lot of money involved there that could be channeled towards the water systems, and that could be a good thing. I'm not a huge supporter of the sports betting to begin with, so if going no against that just to kind of keep it out of the state would be a good thing, then I'd probably say no. If it were to pass, then I think it's a good way to get money to support the water systems.
Good. Thanks. So in this next section, we will start to ask questions that the Women's Club have prepared. So the format here is I may direct any question to any candidate. All candidates will not necessarily answer the same questions. We will be talking about the ballot, RICO ballot questions in these questions and answers, but they're going to come toward the end of this period of this question and answer period. Okay? So, Randy, why should voters in RICO vote for you?
Well, I guess RICO voters could consider me. Currently, I have a lot of public exposure in the town. I listen to a lot of people talk, a lot of different opinions, and I'm not only concerned about the future of the commercial core of RICO, but also the overall health of RICO and its residents. I feel like there's a lot of information being discussed here within the town that is maybe not being relayed to the town. So also in that position, I would like to keep the open discussion with the town people. I would also like to see kind of just more general transparency in the town and more public involvement in these issues, so I see myself as a good middleman.
Good. So, Joe, why should voters elect you to the town board?
I feel like I have the right temperament to serve the town. Being on the board means listening to community wants and needs. As a representative, I think I'd like to work to ensure RICO residents have a chance to reflect on what we value as a community and determine what our priorities would like to be in the future.
Alan, same question.
Experience with electric utilities translates into experience with infrastructure. Many, many years, 3.5 decades of working with customers and consumers, and in Rico's case, it would be the local citizens, solving problems, designing solutions, technical analysis, anywhere from a little water pump out behind the barn to the largest coal mine in Colorado and an international minerals extraction company negotiating contract that was for $1 million. That's not very much money. That was 30 years ago. It was a lot of money 30 years ago. So, experience.
Okay. Thank you. So, sort of a follow-up question to that, Alan. What are the most important challenges in RICO right now?
The cost of infrastructure improvements, the needed infrastructure improvements, are so high that it may be beyond the ability of the taxpayers or the willingness of taxpayers to pay for. But we need some outside funds, I believe, to help us come up to the 21st century.
Good. Brandy, same question. What are the most important challenges in RICO right now?
I agree with Alan, definitely the infrastructure. I also think we should be concerned about the longevity of the township itself, its lack of representation in our county, which is a big deal to me. And then I think there's a bit of a lack of community involvement, so I'd kind of like to stir that up a little bit, see if RICO really wants to grow or not to grow, and make sure people are speaking their voice and getting involved.
Thank you. Joe?
Brandy and Ellen both brought up really good points. And, I feel the same. Our biggest challenge is financial and coming up with creative solutions to generate more sales tax revenue so we can fund things like plowing and updating the infrastructure and, our water.
So here's a challenge that faces RICO in this part of the county. One of the questions on the county ballot will be about the school board. So apparently this is the first time in many years that RICO won't have a person on the school board. There are 4 people running for 3 seats. RICO is in District A, and Kimberly Alexander is running for the seat that Linda Yellman has held for a long time, and she is now termed out. So we'll be stepping down from the school board. At the same time, RICO is addressing the future of the school here in town. And that's a big question. And we won't have a representative on the school board. So I guess I would ask you, if you've had a chance to look at the candidates running for the school board, who do you think would be best represent RICO's interests? And what do you think are important issues regarding the school? Brandy, you want to take that question first?
I'm not very up to speed on that right now. I haven't found who those candidates are, but I do feel it's important. Not having a representative on the school board, I think, is detrimental to RICO. Obviously, losing our school is not very good for the town. I guess there's just a small population of children in the town, so I hope whoever is elected can make the right choices for the town. And I know one of the bigger concerns is what we would do with the school building here locally if the school were not to come back. So I would count on that representative to make the right choices for us.
Good. Ellen, do you have an opinion on that?
Yes, I'm a little confused about the question. It states that RICO will not have a person on the school board and that Kimberly Alexander is running for the seat that Linda held. Now, Kimberly Alexander, does she live here?
No.
No, okay, so...
So the district is larger than RICO. So the district A...
Yes, is larger than RICO.
Includes RICO is greater than...
But there's only one candidate listed, and the question asks us to... choose a candidate that we prefer, but there's only one.
That was an error on my part. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
So you can only vote for the school, right. The district?
The only one that will be on our ballot, I think, will be the one for our district.
Once we are ready.
I believe. Okay. Anyway, there's only one from our district, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we may not have a choice. In other words, there may only be one candidate in our district. Nevertheless, regarding the RICO school and its future, we've had a couple of meetings here and with the school board, Dolores County School Board here, and nothing was resolved. We do know that there's this thought of approaching the voters in the Dove Creek area because if we want to be released from the school district or stricken off so that we may join RICO may join the Telluride School District, both school district citizens, voters need to approve that. Both, is that not correct?
Correct.
Yeah, sort of, kind of? Okay.
Both counties, both school districts.
And at one of these meetings, I suggested that the way to get the ball started rather than wait for all the government bodies at both ends to act so that we can act, let's form a charter school. There are we can organize that. I believe the explanations and the procedures are at the Colorado Department of Education website. And yes, it is a chore, but I think it's better to take an initiative. And this is not something the town can do because, of course, school districts are defined by the state statutes here and municipalities are here. And we don't know of any municipalities in Colorado that actually own and operate a school district, as far as I know.
No,
so
I think that's right.
I believe it's a citizen's action. Town government could support it, but not really take any action because someone might say that...
Let's not get too far off on a tangent here.
Okay.
Thank you.
I used up my 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Joe, what do you think?
I'm also woefully unprepared to answer this question. I'm not up to speed on the issue. I mean, I would hope that whoever Kimberly Alexander is, if she ends up representing our school district, she has the best interests of RICO in mind. After the election, if she becomes our representative, I think it'd be a good idea to invite her here, maybe to a board meeting or some other function to have a meet and greet. And, you know, we can present our issues or ideas in regards to the school board, and she can tell us what her vision is. And I guess that's all I really have to say about it.
Okay. Anything else on that question? Okay. So, Ellen. Do you believe the town has adequate funds to provide adequate services to town residents?
I'm unable to answer that question. I've not seen in detail the expenses and the revenues.
Okay.
All we see is a budget being developed for the next year. But without looking at line by line, item by item, I don't know.
Okay. So, either of you two want to take a shot at that question?
I don't believe the town does have adequate funds. I mean, based on, you know, the meetings I've attended and the packets from the town, you know, the Board of Trustees meetings, most recently the, you know, the September one where they talked about the budget. I mean, Carrie doesn't paint a very good picture for us. I mean, she said, you know, 3 to 5 years our reserves are going to run out. You know, last winter she secured us a grant to pay for our roads to be plowed, and she's working on getting that grant again for this year. So it doesn't sound good the way the town managers and elected officials talk about it now. And yeah, I mean, I have looked at the budget. You know, there were numbers in that packet from the September meeting, and there isn't a lot of money. So no, is the short answer to that question.
Would you like to answer that question, Brandy?
Just from the last few town meetings and the discussion we had on the economic situation of RICO, I would say they're not adequate funds. I'd say that's probably one of the bigger issues right now, considering our lack of infrastructure. And another reason why the candidates up here are getting involved. We want to help contribute to, you know, the solutions we need to see RICO get what it needs to be sustainable. That 3 to 5 year window they were talking about at the last meeting sounds a little urgent and concerning, so it was presented to us that no, the town doesn't have adequate funds right now.
Thank you. So I'm going to come right back to you, Andy. Do you support growth in RICO? If yes, what should the town board do to encourage growth? And if no, why?
Well, this one's a loaded question. I do support growth in RICO. Obviously, nobody wants to see it turn into Telluride. In my mind, growth is, for a town like this, very small, very slow. RICO's on a super slow roll. I don't think anything's going to happen here overnight. Being that we don't have funds for the infrastructure we need, I think there needs to be some sort of stimulation and growth economically. I don't believe in growth in the sense of sprawl and development. I'm pretty sure everybody's anti that kind of growth. I'd like to see smart growth within the town. I'd like to see RICO grow in a sustainable way as far as being maybe a leader in eco-type developments, or maybe a leader in small town, specializing in small town developments. You know, we don't fit the bill on solutions that are for bigger towns and bigger cities and other cities. RICO is very unique, so I think we need some fresh new ideas on the whole situation there.
Good, thank you. Joe, do you support growth? And if yes, what would you do as a town board member to encourage growth?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Brandy kind of touched on it. Yeah, growth around here can be a pretty dirty word. The unfortunate reality is that, you know, every economic model relies on growth. And I don't think, you know, without some kind of, you know, we need a more permanent population base to support more businesses on Glasgow Avenue. And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, I know, like, you know, our part-time residents here are very passionate about the town. I really appreciate that because, you know, on the other side of the pass, you know, there's a lot of headbutting and it can be pretty contentious. And it's pretty cool here that, you know, the part-time residents can coexist pretty well with, you know, the people that are full-time. But I do think we need more full-time residents to support businesses on Main Street, on Glasgow Avenue, to generate more sales tax revenue for the town. Outlines a clear vision for small, sustainable growth, and we have a strong land use code that outlines a clear vision and to enforce it.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Ellen?
Those are excellent questions.
Yep.
Our answers, I'm sorry, very, very nicely done. Yeah, I, on specifics, the population here is about 270 or so in all year and maybe up to 350 or 400 in the summer. If we had another 100 or 150 people, I think that would fit here and be sustainable. I lived and worked in a suburb of Pueblo called Pueblo West. When I moved there, the population was 1997 is when I moved there, and the population was 6,000. By 2008, and the economic depression thing hit, it was over 30,000. And you just couldn't keep up with it. Of course, we don't want to see that happen here. The population of Rico will not increase by a factor of 5 in 10 or 15 years. But I think the town has been working hard on the planning, the master plan. The Planning and Zoning Commission is active and covers all of the issues and concerns and things that need to be done as they come up. I think we have a pretty good working situation here, and I would like to be on the trustees to keep things just as they are, slow and moderate, and let's see if we can bring up the population a little bit slowly that we might be able to support groceries, hardware, things that our tax money goes that way.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I guess there's a question about what kind of growth is needed. So following up on that question, what kind of growth is needed in Rico? And it's just some examples, you know, residential growth, affordable housing. Do we want to talk about Airbnb, rental units? Do we need a lot more lodging, retail, commercial, food service, grocery? Joe, you want to take a shot at that? I mean, the question is, what sort of growth?
Sure, yeah. You know, I think I touched on this in my previous answer, you know, like a larger permanent population, year-round residents, is, I think, fundamental to creating, you know, the sustainable growth that we need in this town. You know, and like Alan said, you know, we don't want this place to explode. You know, and Brandy said, you know, we don't want, like, large-scale developments. But, you know, as I said before, we have a land use code and, you know, an active planning and zoning commission that I think, you know, would prevent anything like that.
What sort of growth would you like to see? Like,
a larger population base, a larger permanent year-round population base here. Okay. Will spur the kind of growth that we need in this town.
Okay. Brandy?
I agree with that. I think a few more local year-round residents would contribute to the economic growth that the town needs. Probably also just to kind of the physical manpower that's here. You know, when we had that crazy snow year last year, we didn't even have enough people to clear the roofs, to clear the streets, you know, and those are the kinds of situations where people are just coming out of their homes and chipping in and volunteering and working like a community. And with as few residents as are here, I just feel like there hasn't been a lot going into the motion to move forward, you know. There's been a lot of stagnant people in town, and I think just a few more people would just be enough to support the businesses, support new ideas. My definition of growth doesn't exactly result in dollars or sprawl or homes, but just kind of fresh ideas and new people in town. So I support that.
Alan, do you want to comment on that? What kind of growth?
Yes, residential and rental. You need to have people, purchasing power, in order to support retail business. If they're going to be a year-round retail business that survives from the good season in the summer and the slow season in the fall and winter and spring, we need to have enough people here to support retail businesses year-round.
You know, I worked on the business survey the town had performed, and one of the issues I heard repeatedly was from business owners, labor is hard, to find. One of the reasons labor is difficult to find is because of the housing situation. So what you have any ideas or thoughts on what you might do to promote affordable housing or even rental housing development? Joe?
That's a tough one. I mean, it seems to be going in that trend. I mean, as more people get displaced from more expensive markets in this region, they seem to be gravitating towards here. I mean, our population has slowly been growing. It is hard to find rentals here. You know, I mean, I don't have any specific ideas to encourage. You know, there's a lot of empty homes here, and they could be long-term rentals, but I don't know how you could encourage people to rent those to people who want to live here long-term but not can't necessarily afford to buy something that want to rent. And that's a discussion that needs to be had.
Okay. Ellen?
The town of Rico has control of one cost factor and possibly two if this other project comes along that affect construction of new homes. Just one, and that's the tap fee for water. I think that's about the only leverage the town really has without maybe go visiting with housing developers to request that they carve out a side of town land or somewhere and put a few more houses in. But you know, you can start with the tap fee. If it means a reduction or elimination of tap fee to promote growth, that might be considered, because if you don't add customers, you're not adding any revenue from usage and monthly fees, monthly water fees. And then on the sewer system, well, we just need to see how that comes out, and if it doesn't, we need to do more research on lower cost cluster systems.
Okay. Randy, what do you think?
Could you repeat the question?
Well, it's a takeoff of what kind of growth is needed. And I was talking about the businesses that identify the lack of affordable housing for workers and rentals as well. So owner-occupied, you know, how can we make it easier to...
So how would we address getting affordable housing in Rico?
How might the town, your role as a town board member, how might the town address that issue of affordable housing and rentals?
Well, I'm not sure, because so far it's been really difficult. Apparently, the Rico Renaissance was an attempt to provide affordable housing, and I would go ahead and say that the Silver Glance development are some of the nicer and more expensive homes in the town of Rico. Now we have affordable housing going in on the main street, which is extremely high priced. So I don't know what ideas we could move forward with, but I would say that the attempts that have been made in the past would be something that we could learn from and make a new plan from.
Okay, thank you. So next question has to do a little bit with the appearance of the community. How would you like to see the appearance of the community improved? Brandon?
I would just like to see some preservation of the historic character. You know, I'm not sure what the Planning and Zoning Commission does, but if there were to be any development, I would hope there would be strict regulations on, you know, what the storefronts could look like, what the building sizes could be. I think there could be some improvements to the general public walkways, maybe some more general information about the town. We see a ton of people that come here that are interested in learning the history of Rico, and you know, I think we could just use a few more little plaques here and there and honoring the cool sites that we have that people have questions about, and there's just not much to offer for the public.
Joe?
I'd like to see less empty buildings on Glasgow Avenue.
Good. Ellen?
Agree with Joe, yes. The downtown needs a paint job. I got a little cleanup, a little spiff up. I don't know that there's anything that the town of Rico government could actually do about that at this time, unless there's a eyesore ordinance and require painting. Another, you know, future project, if grant money is ever available, is some decorative downtown street lighting. I have some experience in that, and it really sets off. You have a nice downtown or business district with a town square. Our town square is, you know, partly removed because City Hall is just a block away. But a nice old-fashioned decorative urn, upside-down urn style lights really set off an old Western Colorado town, make it look good at night.
Ken?
Yes.
We've got a lot of ground to cover here, so if you can kind of shorten your answers, you know, get your point across, but give a short answer and we can cover more types of questions than a lot of long answers. So we don't need long answers.
Got it.
All right.
You know that last one.
What three things do you think would improve the financial bottom line of RICO? And that's the town governing we're talking about. Three things do you think would improve the financial bottom line of RICO? Joe?
One, I think we could invest in internet infrastructure. In today's economy, more and more people are able to work remotely and telecommute. And I think with good high-speed internet, you know, we could attract more people, and that could be a way to increase our population base, as I was talking about before. Another one is to attract tradesmen here. It's really hard to get a plumber, electrician in town in this economy because they have enough work where they're based. And that could create revenue. You know, I mean, if they are based in RICO, they get a RICO business license, if that's a thing that even exists. And, you know, the town collects tax revenue on, you know, on labor work in town, rather than having people like, you know, that live here that work in Telluride, like, you know, moonlight here, and the town doesn't collect any revenue on that. Did you want a third one?
Sure.
Okay. And a third one could be like a short-term rental tax, which I think already exists, but the town has trouble enforcing it. So coming up with ideas on enforcing a short-term rental tax, you know, that's a discussion that could be had at a board meeting, you know, with all the board members. I don't know what the answer is, but an answer exists.
So, Alan, similar question, but a little bit different. How could RICO's sales tax revenue be improved?
Attract businesses, a little more population. Grocery store, or order in once a week from a wholesaler and distribute locally. Have a buying club, for example. Anything that we can do to stop the leakage of purchasing power going to Dolores Cortez or Telluride in necessities. I'm not speaking in terms of T-shirts and mugs and coffee cups. Essentials is what we need to be selling here in a local establishment.
Okay. So, Brandy, first, two parts to this question. Is the environmental health of the town important to you? What would you do as a town board member to improve it, or even as a citizen?
Sure. The environmental health is actually extremely important. I would like to see more data on the current situations we have presented to the town. That way we have a base of, you know, where we need improvement. I think one of the biggest concerns right now is the wastewater going into the ground and potentially into the river. Apparently, a lot of people think that's not a big deal. Apparently, some of the local engineers who could tap into the testing could provide that information for us, and then we really know what our current status is. Because RICO has a long history of, you know, contamination and other things that, sure, I think are important and we should be concerned about, and we should just be evaluating so we can make a plan on where to go and what solutions we can come up with for that.
Thank you. So, Joe, do you believe that there are adequate transportation options in RICO? If not, what would you do to improve them, or what would you like to see?
I think we're on the right path. with, you know, the shuttle going to and from Telluride now, that's a huge step. I would like to see maybe some more time options, you know, like another, you know, two different times leaving Telluride in the morning, two times leaving Telluride, coming back to Rico in the evening. But yeah, we're definitely on the right track with transportation.
Okay. So, Alan, this is kind of an imaginary question. If the town received $1 million as a grant to accomplish an important community need, what would you support doing with it and why?
That takes up a chunk out of the cost of the sewer system. I'd either start the project if enough other funds could be obtained or the voters agreed to the tax increase, or put it in the sewer fund and keep it there until such time as funds are available.
Thank you. Anybody else want to answer that question? You don't have to, but...
Unfortunately, $1 million doesn't go a long way anymore. I mean, I would probably, if it was solely up to me, if, you know, the town got $1 million and, like, I could spend it however, you know, on town things, I think I would one thing Carrie talked about in the September meeting was, you know, our equipment is, you know, not in good shape, so either repairing or buying new equipment for plowing and things we use it for. You know, the town hall restoration, and if there's anything left, I'd put it in the reserves.
Randy?
Those are both great answers. I'm not sure exactly how it would work, but I think the town investing in some sort of government-run business would be beneficial. There's been ideas of, say, a small campground or something that would, you know, provide more services for locals but generate revenue for the town would be a good idea. Something new that the town would operate and generate revenue from would be a good use.
Interesting. So I've got another question for you, Brandon. What would you like to see? Would you like to see the water system move back to Silver Creek, and why?
I don't think I'd like to see the system go back to Silver Creek. I don't know a lot about how it was run, but I think it was changed for a reason. I think that the source and the treatment was not great. Just the thought of going back to an old system doesn't sound right to me.
As an engineer, do you want to try that answer?
When I was searching for a way to soften water on a large scale after I moved here, I ended up speaking with an engineer in the state. It was water engineers or water quality department, and he was familiar with this change of source from the Silver Creek runoff, essentially surface water, to the well. And he said that was a great idea. It was a good thing to do, because if there was a fire up in that drainage, you'd have ash everywhere, and it would be running into your water supply, and you would instantly have no water supply. So no, I do not support spending any money at this time on Silver Creek.
Okay. So what should the town be doing, town government, that it's not? Joe?
I think our elected officials are working diligently for the town. We have a town manager that's working very hard for us, and we're lucky to have her. And I think, you know, the town is doing everything they can. I don't know if there's any more that we could be doing.
Brandy, do you have a thought on that?
I would say we would need to be more actively involved in our county. I don't feel like the tax dollars are being very equally distributed. I feel like we have a huge disconnect between us and Dove Creek, and I think that the town should be a little bit more involved with that.
Town manager Carrie told me this afternoon that she is working on a revision or an update to the town website which will make it possible to post more archives and maybe more news, blog, something like that. I think a little more communication out of the town directly, rather than the people having to ask questions and having rumors get started. And one of the principles of public relations is where a void of information exists, misinformation will fill it. And I'd also like to see more than a 24-hour notice on meetings, because we occasionally have special meetings here which are necessary and they have to happen quickly. But if you don't go to the post office on that particular day or happen to be at town hall and don't see the posted a special meeting notice, you missed it.
Okay. Thanks. Do we all answer that question?
Yes.
Okay. So, I think a question for all three of you. What do you want to stay the same in RICO and why? Joe?
I want RICO to stay weird and funky. That's it.
Randy?
Definitely the small town character that everybody loves about RICO is something we need to preserve. Also, the historic storefronts and, you know, the commercial core really needs to protect that historic look and yeah.
Okay. Alan?
Ditto. The small town atmosphere is just fabulous. Having lived in two other places in Colorado, this is my pick.
So I think before we move on to the RICO ballot questions, I want to ask this question. Do you believe that the town is adequately governed? If so, what is good about the town government? And if not, what would you change? Randy?
Yeah, I think the town is adequately governed. I do think Carrie has been doing a good job. You know, I'm still new here. I don't know a lot about the history of RICO town government, but I think we're on the right path.
Alan?
Yes, we have good representation here and good government. Good staff.
Thank you.
Yeah, my answer is yes as well. We enjoy freedoms here that you don't get in a lot of places. Some regulation is good, over regulation is bad, and I feel like we have a great balance.
Thank you. So do you have any particular questions that I haven't asked on this list?
I think we covered a lot of it, so that's good.
Okay. So this next question has to do with the RICO ballot, and we'll ask each of you to respond. And the first one is the RICO Smart Taxing District. It's there's currently an IGA, which includes obligation for RICO to vote on the inclusion in the Smart Taxing District. This will mean a new mill levy of 0.75. Very low, and a quarter of a penny sales tax increase. Services for RICO are heavily subsidized. Transportation services are. But it is a higher level of involvement in the district, give you a seat at the table, and will set up support from all taxpayers and will not be part of the local sales tax. So are you familiar enough with the SMART issue and this ballot issue? Do you support it? Are the current smart services adequate for RICO? Joe?
Yes, me. I support smart and being included in the tax district. I think the important thing of this is that we will have, if it passes, we will have a representation on the smart board. Otherwise, it's just them telling us what they're going to do with the Southern Route, which is what they call RICO. There's a lot of things that they're talking about changing with the Southern Route. So, like in this, infancy of the Regional Transit Authority, I think it is important for us to have representation on the board, so we have a say in how that is, how they manage it. Like I said, otherwise they're just telling us what they're doing, and we don't really have a say. Did I answer everything? Oh, and adequate, yeah. Like, I mean, I guess we touched on that earlier, right? Yeah, it's adequate, but I would like to see it expanded.
So you kind of touched on the advantages of being part of it as well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask this question to everybody, too. Do you plan on attending the SMART presentation on October 10th?
Yes.
At 3 p.m. Okay. So, Brandy, do you want to talk about the SMART taxing district and what you think of it? Do you support it? Do you think the SMART services are adequate for RICO?
Sure. I'd say Joe is probably a lot more knowledgeable on that whole subject, but yeah, I do support it. Just to be clear, SMART is the San Miguel Authority of Regional Transportation, so that would basically mean we're tied into Telluride as far as transportation goes. And it's extremely low cost, and I'd say for pretty big benefits for RICO. Good use. And since we don't have a school here, I think it would be a great way to get our local students to Telluride. And again, like Joe said, just by becoming a part of the SMART district, you know, then we get our position on the board, our voice there, and added support from San Miguel County.
Good. Do you plan on attending the October 10th, 3 p.m. meeting?
I just found out about it, but okay. Yes, I'll put it on my calendar.
That's fine. Alan, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yes, I will attend the meeting. This is the first notice of it here, of course, but I know we had one, SMART presented their planning work that they're doing a couple of weeks ago, and I attended that one too. And for all the same reasons, I support this ballot issue. It's a very low cost. It also, if passed, will send a message to county government and the residents of the other part of the county from which we are geographically separated that RICO has made a move to disassociate from services that they do not provide and associate with another municipality and the district that does provide services that we need.
Thank you. So another ballot question that will be on the RICO ballot is opting out of Senate Bill 152, which 152, as it's written right now, really restricts local government's participation in broadband expansion and trying to bring services to a community. So a law was passed that allows it was part of the 152. It allows local governments, counties, and municipalities to opt out of that restriction. It has to be a community vote, and you'll have a chance to vote on that in November. RICO has not chosen to do that yet. Dolores County already has. A lot of your neighbors already have. Just gives you a little bit more flexibility in how you might want to be involved in trying to bring broadband and other tech services like that to RICO. So do you support it? If yes, why? And if not, why not? Brandy?
Yeah, I think since a lot of people are already on board with that, I think it'd be a good idea for us to also join in, opt out. I think it's at no cost. Is that right?
Yes, just, there's no cost.
Just a vote.
There's no fiscal impact.
Yeah, you know, anything to give us more options and availability for RICO.
Yeah.
I agree. Yes, I support it. As was, I think, explained to me, perhaps by Town Manager Kerry, the Terrellans and municipalities may have access to federal or state grants and loans that private telecommunications companies do not. So it's another potential source of low or no-cost funding. That's why I support it.
Joe, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, I support it. I can't really think of an argument not to opt out. If anyone has one, I'd love to hear it. But, yeah.
Good. All right, the last ballot issue in the RICO ballot is the central sewer services for the commercial core would raise taxes. The debt would be increased up to $3 million, up to $3 million, with a maximum total repayment of a little over $3.7 million over 20 years. It would be a millage increase to every property owner in the community. Again, it's the services for the commercial core and adjacent streets. So the question first is, do you support it? If yes, why? If no, why not? Brandy?
Yeah, I do. I support building the central sewer mostly to support the existing businesses that are here, which we all know there's only a handful. But, you know, just like the rest of town, our systems have been failing us, and I just feel it's super important to become updated and get on a central sewer. I do believe it would allow growth in the commercial core, which would in turn add more tax dollars to RICO's budget. Once the system is built, it's also going to allow local residences to tap into it in the future and finally have a chance to phase out septic systems, which currently cost property owners a good chunk of their land. You know, they have to dedicate that to the system, the actual physical space. On the other hand, I do understand that the current plan may not be affordable for the local residents. So, you know, on the vote, I think whoever would be elected is going to probably work really hard on finding the most affordable option and the best solution for the town. I think there's going to be a lot of work to be put into that project.
Thank you. Alan,
I do not. I don't look forward to paying $11,000 over the period of a 20-year loan to fund a business core, a service that I will never probably be able to tap to because of the expense of the additional sewer lines, sewer mains. A little bit of research I've been able to do looking at other municipalities, small towns, Dolores, Norwood, Alma, and what was the third one? I don't remember. Fourth, none of them tax the existing taxpayers, property taxpayers, to pay for extensions of main lines, main sewer lines, to undeveloped areas, unserved areas. It's a requirement of all of these communities that the developer or the landowners who wish to have mainline service extended pay for it up front, have it installed, operate it for a year, and if everything's okay, then they give it to the town at no cost. No cost to the taxpayers. And in my 34 years' experience designing and building power lines, and wrote a lot of extension contracts, there was never any policy for what town proposes here to tax or charge, in the case of another kind of utility, charge other customers or customers who are not served at all outside your service area to pay for infrastructure to those who like to have service. And the town has not given us any annual or monthly expenses estimates. We don't know what this is going to cost to operate. And at the last meeting here, the economic development person made the pitch that this might raise sales tax revenue, but how much? And one audience member asked, who lives in the area, one of the new lines, well, what if I don't want to tap? Town Manager Kerry said, well, you don't have to. Well, that's contrary to what these other three, four municipalities I've looked at also said. If you have service available, you're within 200 feet of it or 400 feet and less than an acre, you're required to tap. You're required to pay. You can't have a septic tank anymore. You got to have a source of revenue to pay the operating expenses. And we see no proof, no projections from the town regarding how we're going to pay for this with a limited number to operate it. Insurance, electricity, you know, testing, certification. What if that's $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a year? If you only have two or three businesses attached, they aren't going to be able to afford that. So the rest of the operating costs could fall on the rest of the taxpayers eventually. Period.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. Joe, do you have an opinion?
I mean, to me, this is more of like an environmental and public health issue. You know, it's been mentioned earlier that a lot of septics are not up to snuff here. You know, there's potentially raw sewage leaking into our groundwater and maybe into the river. You know, there's a preliminary engineering report for the wastewater treatment posted on the town's website. I skimmed through that recently, and I mean, it cites that the current septic systems, most current septic systems in town, don't meet current Colorado Department of Public Health regulations. And it goes on to say that a lot of systems in town are either inadequate or failing. And that seems like a problem. It seems like this is an infrastructure project that is necessary. Septic is a antiquated way of dealing with shit. And I think we need to move into the 20th century as far as the way we process our waste, our human waste.
So a couple of follow-up questions. Do you believe that development in the commercial core, so sewers built, commercial core grows, do you think that will help to support future phases of sewer services in other areas of the town? Joe?
I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic about that. I mean, you know, Alan brought up, he talked about that pretty extensively just with his previous answer, and he doesn't seem to think so. And I mean, that's a big unknown, I guess. You know, I hope so.
What do you think, Brandy?
Could you repeat that again?
Sure. Do you believe that the development in the commercial core, you know, the first phase is built and the commercial core grows, do you think it will help support future phases of sewer services in other areas of the town?
Sure. I think the initial build in the commercial core could potentially attract more businesses, which would in turn, you know, provide more tax dollars. So that's basically more people participating in paying it back.
What about you, Alan?
I'm not qualified in economics, but based on where I've lived in Colorado and what I've seen, Colorado goes through cyclical ups and downs and booms and busts with minerals extraction, and having a sewer system has no impact on whether you're going to have a boom or a bust, or whether you're going to be profitable or unprofitable or sustainable or not. And Pueblo West, Colorado, which was formed in the late 60s, perked along for 25 years before anything happened, and then all of a sudden it got discovered. I think there's more factors from the outside that affect local economies than anything that the town can spend its own money on. It will happen when it happens.
Thank you. So you mentioned some potential alternatives to a central system. Do you support viable alternatives? And why do you think it's viable? And at the same time, the second part of that question is, will those alternatives, other than a central system, adequately serve RICO for in the long run? Alan?
It's out of my expertise. It's outside. I don't know. I cannot give you an educated opinion. It's out of my area. That's why we hire registered professional civil engineers to analyze that sort of thing.
It's fine. Either of you want to answer that question about a viable alternatives to central sewer outside of septics?
I'm not aware of any. I'm sure there's some that exist, but you know, I'm not a wastewater engineer. If this doesn't pass in November, I mean, I think it's worth looking into other alternatives that might be viable. But I would assume that our, you know, current board and town managers have already done that. If there is a viable alternative, then yeah, I mean, I'm open to ideas, always.
What do you think, Brandy?
Yep, totally open to alternative solutions. I think part of the developing of the plan has been for lack of finding those solutions so far. So I think we need to be a little bit more open-minded on what the options are, how to go about them, and the costs. You know, every day technology is advancing. Things are getting cheaper in technology. And I think we have a lot of smart people in this town that could participate in that conversation and help us come up with something that'll work.
Okay. So, if the ballot question fails and growth does occur and septics proliferate, or some of these other alternatives that might come up, we might come up with are not adequate, would you support a central system in the future? Alan, I'll ask you first.
Yes. Yes. We also need to look at cluster systems, perhaps neighborhoods, depending on the geology, the soils, the percolation, the drainage. A lot of smart people, a lot of professional engineers, environmental experience, the training. Yeah, we bring all of the resources we can put into developing a system, wastewater treatment system that is viable and environmentally pure and clean. I agree.
Okay. Since you guys already are in support of it, I assume you would
support
it.
Yeah, support it now, support it in the future.
Mm-hmm. Good. Same.
Okay,
so next, supported questions. Submitted questions, I mean. So I don't know if we received any or not, but...
You have one.
I have one.
Yeah. And it could have been
okay, we have two. First question is, as a citizen of RICO, and this is directed toward for Alan, I, like many others, am interested in any information pertaining to the sewer on Main Street. As an applicant to be a trustee of the town, would you agree that the fact-finding you posted on the RICO bulletin board was not fact when pertaining to the situation that RICO is in, as the three towns you listed already had the first stage of a sewer system? You want to read it?
Yeah. People were walking. Okay, dear Alan. Then we're going, like many others, interested in information pertaining to the sewer on Main Street as an applicant to be a trustee of the town, would you agree that the fact-finding you posted on RICO bulletin board was not fact when pertaining to the situation that RICO is in, as the three towns you listed, yes, the three towns that were listed do have their own existing wastewater treatment plants. I was only addressing the extension of sewer mains. I purposely chose to do so because my experience is with, you know, in another kind of utility is extending main lines, main service lines to unserved areas or upgrades. Yes, I understand that the other three towns did not have or do have the treatment plants.
Okay. Thank you. So we have one more question. Oh, we've got some more coming. So, the town of RICO's three main sources of revenue are in a state of decline. How is the town able to eliminate budget deficits if property taxes, sales taxes, and mixed leasing continue to decline? Brandy, you want to answer that first?
How is the town,
with the declining revenue, how is the town able to eliminate budget deficits if property taxes, sales taxes, and other revenues continue to decline?
Well, we have to come up with some fresh new ideas. Staying on the same path that we've been on and being in decline clearly is not working. So I'm not sure what those solutions would be. I am open to taking all of the town input and bringing it to the board. Rico's been in this situation for a while, so I don't think we really have those answers yet.
Joe?
I mean, this has been talked about a lot tonight, you know, that revenues are declining, and it's a problem. The question is...
Well, with the declining tax base.
Right.
Both in property, in sales, and other revenues. What steps can we take to improve that situation?
Right. I mean, I said before, I think that the fundamental problem is, you know, just having enough population base to support, you know, a mercantile or some retail businesses on Glasgow. So, you know, infrastructure projects to attract a greater year-round permanent population base that would support more business on Glasgow.
Okay, thank you. Alan, you have
a thought? We stop thinking about taxes, property taxes or sales taxes. We think about it like we were, or maybe we need to form one on the side, a homeowners association or a property owners association, which is not governed by the limits of Gallagher or Tabor. We just simply have a fee. Let's say a road maintenance fee. It could be fixed amount, annual, could be billed monthly on your water bill. Or it could be based on the number of feet of frontage that you have on the street. And if you don't pay, then you get a visit from the tax delinquent collecting service that the town of Rico would hire. And if you continue to not pay, you get a bad mark on your credit report. And you get a lien filed on your property. I just don't think taxes is the solution. I think we need to think like...
I mean, isn't a homeowners association fee basically a tax? I mean, homeowners associations exist in places that don't have a government. You know, in Rico, we have a local municipality. I mean, a homeowner association would be redundant, I think.
I'm
just
looking
as a rebuttal
at
to what you say. I don't know if that's appropriate or not in this forum, but...
That's okay.
Sorry,
I'm looking at it. It may not be legitimate. It may be illegal. But we need to stop thinking about taxes, because we're limited in the amount of taxes that can be collected unless we get a mill levy increase, which would be the same as another fee.
Okay. So here's another question from audience members. Think about ways to get people to stop here. You know, people who stop spend money. How do we do that? How can we improve?
Stop and go for a hike. They stop, you know, and then maybe they go into the enterprise for lunch and a beer or a soda or whatever your preference is. You know, eventually, if we can support, you know, more storefronts on Main Street, you know, people walk around, people window shop, you know, it's got to be visual. But yeah, I think a first good step to that would be promoting some of the recreational opportunities that exist here, because they're plentiful.
Alan, you have a thought on?
Tough question. Most towns and cities would allow you to put up big ugly billboards that you read as you're driving by, say, here, exit here to get to the city hall or the museum or whatever it is, attraction. We don't really want to do that here, but I think you just said visual. Yes, something.
Well, I didn't mean, yeah, big ugly sign.
Not that.
Yeah.
I wasn't criticizing. but yeah, we need to work on our visual attractiveness downtown.
Randy?
Well, what we do at the Enterprise is set up our picnic tables, cook some food, have some music. If it looks like something's going on, people will stop. So, I mean, without sacrificing our historic character visually by putting up lighting and billboards, you know, just, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, maybe just improving the walkways, having a simple town map that says, you know, here's four historical sites. You could do a free self-guided walking tour. People are extremely interested in the history of RICO. Would love to read a little plaque here and there, just like that's down at the mining site there in the creek. You see people pulled over there all the time, you know, taking photos, reading the plaque. If there were just a few more of those, I'm sure people would pull over and stop. People pull over and stop and ask us, where can they go? You know, and they've got money in their pocket, and they're willing to spend it, and there's nowhere for them to spend it.
Thank you. So this next question from the audience is about geothermal resources. What ideas might you have on how we can improve the utilization of the geothermal resources you have? Randy?
Could you repeat that?
That's about, how do you have ideas about how to utilize geothermal resources?
Well, I think we all have ideas on how they could be utilized, but the struggle is figuring out how to tap into that. You know, so that's obviously better suited for engineers to decide, but I think just providing or using the resource as a central heating source, maybe. I know other places that have that resource have used it in a lot of different ways, even on a small scale. I saw in Pagosa they have a tiny little town greenhouse that is powered by geothermal. Just like I was saying, I think RICO could be a leader in kind of doing some green type growth. I think there's a lot of opportunities there and a lot of options, but the hardest part would be learning how to tap into it first.
Thank you. Ellen?
A little bit of roadblock, a big roadblock I've heard from town government or might have been Kerry is, yeah, we have the resource. We've seen the results. We have the Colorado School of Mines final report from a couple of summers ago, but it's the depth and the need to drill a test well and the cost of the test well. And I don't know what that is, cost per foot, but it could be $500,000 or $1 million just to prove that the resource that's there can be recovered. I'm on a number of mailing lists from the U.S. Department of Energy. Any of the research in various energy sectors except petroleum and things like that I don't care about. I just received one a few days ago soliciting communication from anyone and anywhere who has information about underutilized or unused geothermal resources. And I have the file. I'm going to email it in. And we'll see if they wish the government, federal government, has any money to put into a test drill. I will send it in.
Thank you. Joe, do you have a comment on that?
I mean, I think Brandy and Alan kind of hit the nail on the head with that, and I don't think I really have much to add. I mean, geothermal power is a thing. It'd be cool to tap into it, but they said everything I could possibly say on it.
Okay, then next question to you then. Think about ways that you might generate, that would generate more community participation in the town.
That's a good one. You know, Brandy did mention earlier that, you know, she'd like to see more community participation. I mean, I feel like we're going in the right direction, you know, I mean, with, you know, the Trails Alliance has been doing a lot of really good things. I mean, they hold a couple events every year, and community participation there is, everyone comes out for that. You know, they do one in the summer and one in the winter, and it's a really fun event every time they do it. And, you know, a lot of the community comes out and volunteers for it. You know, everyone comes and, you know, this, I think it was just in August. It was, I think we had over 100 people, you know, mostly RICO residents, some people from out of town. And, you know, the chili cook-off was, I think, a pretty big success. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, holding more events like that could be a good start.
Okay, thanks. Randy, ways to generate more public participation in the town's process?
Well, I guess we'd start by finding out what, you know, most people are interested in. I think it's pretty safe to say the majority of people here are really into outdoor recreation. I agree. Rico Trails Alliance has done a great job of hosting some events and getting people in town and pulling people from out of town to come participate in those events. I would personally like to promote some things like that at the Enterprise. You know, we offer informational classes on avalanche awareness. We would like to provide more informational gatherings for general recreation interests. I think that's a common thread here that most people would participate in if it involves some of their outdoor sports.
Okay. Thank you. You have any ideas?
Smile. Enterprise has more going on than any little, the best little bar in town kind of place. It's great. Great to have you here. I started a little personal project a few months ago. There was one comment about a question here about something I published. But I do the best I can as objectively as I can without opinions. And I just go looking for the facts. My approach to public participation is awareness. You know, I have this training and experience in journalism and mass communication also. So I thought I hear a lot of the discussions that all of you folks also and everyone else hears that they only have half the information. So I go attend a meeting here, maybe it might be the town, or do some research on the sewer situation, attend the historical society meetings. And I'll just publish in a few photos. Just get the word out. If you folks don't already know, this is what these organizations that we already have. Lots of volunteers doing a lot of good, hard work for the community. And this is what they're doing. And this is what they're trying to improve. This is how they're making things better. That has been, for a couple of months, my approach.
Okay. So, Alan, this is a question, follow-up question to you. Can you explain how a homeowner's fee and the enforcement mechanism differs from a tax? How a homeowner's fee and the enforcement mechanism differs from a tax?
It's essentially the same. It's a means to generate revenue. The difference is it's not a government entity. It's still consumer-owned. Mm-hmm. Consumer-owned and operated, citizen-owned and operating. It's just outside of all these little Tabor and Gallagher rules. And, you know, the limits that are driving RICO's and every other small community, local government entities' revenue down because of the growth on the eastern slope and on the Front Range that's ratcheting down. Well, we're not growing. We can't build our revenue because we're not growing. So it may not be the answer, it might not be the best solution, but I just thought this is another way, or this is a way to get around the government rules and regs that are hurting us.
Okay. Well, thanks for that answer. Good. Do we have any other questions from the audience?
So follow up. Like
if you're, we need you to come up to the microphone and state your name and address.
Hey, I'm Zach. I live in Silver Glance, 405. I own a house, some land. Been here for a minute. Follow-up for Alan. You described that situation where these other municipalities have funded these extension lines, and it's done purely on a developer and not through, you know, the existing taxpayers. But did you look into at all how they funded their initial systems? Were those through taxes?
That information, it was not available. I just look at websites, and I obtained by email Dolores's extension policies on water and sewer. But no, I don't have any history on what happened in 1950, let's say after World War II, and maybe everybody decided this is bad, we can't have these outhouses around here anymore. But no, I don't know how those were funded. If I did, I would report on it, but I don't have that.
If you do find that out, and they were funded by way of, say, property taxes, would you then be in support of funding a system here in a similar fashion?
Yeah, if there's a historical precedence for it, you know, the situation with RICO so far, and I'm, if I find one, I will publish it, definitely, objectively. But I haven't found any yet, and my concern is a lot of citizens are being asked to pay for a service for somebody else. It's just not in my personal experience, my work experience. So, and when I find something that models what you're discussing, maybe I will definitely publish it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Other questions from the audience? No? Okay. So we're going to move into the last part of this forum, and it's your chance to make a closing statement, up to 2 minutes if you want. Joe, you want to go first this time?
Sure. I'll start by, Ken, thanks for doing this. Thanks for moderating. This has been really fun. Thanks for the Women's Club for putting this on. Organizing, I know, you volunteer your hours, and that's a big deal. It's really cool because I can walk away, regardless of the outcome of this election, I think we could all be so lucky because no matter what the outcome, I can walk away feeling good about it, win or lose, because RICO is in good hands, the five people, I know Nicole and Geneva couldn't be here, or Genevieve rather, and that's unfortunate, but I know they've served on the board for a long time, and no matter what, we can feel good that RICO's in good hands because we have a lot of people here that are passionate about this community.
Okay. Alan?
Yes, thank you to the hosts and the organizers. Thank you to the moderator. This is maybe a first in the history of RICO. We don't know what happened in 1890, but maybe they tended to resolve their issues with fisticuffs and guns back then. This has been a great exercise in democracy. Thank you all for attending. And anyone who's listening, thank you for listening.
Brandy.
Just thanks to everyone. I hope that listening to the board discussion has, provided maybe some new information that was not out there before. Getting to know us isn't very easy. Even though we're a small town, I think we all need to be in a little better open communication. And like I said before, part of my initiative to, if I were to be elected into town board, would just be to keep that discussion open, keep more people involved, and, make sure not only what's being discussed in the town is being shared with the townspeople, but also that the voices and opinions of the townspeople is being shared with the board. I've always felt that there's a pretty important role as communication between those two groups.
All right. Well, I'll close and then again by summarizing the thank yous that have already been expressed. The Women's Club put in a lot of time on this and effort. Thank you very much. And the audience and the listeners as well. With special thanks to the three of you who spent your time here and had to answer a lot of questions. And you did a good job. I think, from my standpoint, you have more informed public after this, for sure. So, roughed out some good answers to questions. Would you like to say anything?
Yes, we'd like to invite the candidates to stay on and join the people informally. We've got some good refreshments over here, so maybe we can have some informal discussions. But thank you so much, and how about a round of applause?
Thank you, Pancho, for running the control board tonight.
Signing off.